Well, that was beautiful. Thank you, guys. That was really wonderful. And I loved one of the lines, because it's going to come up in a little bit of my talk here. Who's counted, who has numbered every grain of sand? Remember that? Hang on to that line, because it'll make sense here in a little bit as I go through what I'm going to go through this morning. Again, thank you for letting us be with you. I count it a privilege. Who was not in Sunday school? Anybody not in Sunday school? Okay. So most of you saw what's happening and where we're going. This morning, my challenge is going to be about becoming bold, because I think as Christians, this is going to be a very important issue for us. There are over 400,000 churches across the nation of America. Think about that for a second. Over 400,000 churches across the nation of America. How in the world is it that we see what we see in our culture? If you had 400,000 churches with sold out, born again, believing Christians, you would not see the mess that we're in right now. I'm just going to go out on a limb for you, okay? And I think, and part of it is because many times we are not filled with people that truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. And a part of the reason is that I think we need Christians that are a little more bold in their faith and not ashamed to speak the truth, not being belligerent, not being ignorant, but just willing to speak the truth in love and be bold. So if we can kill these lights here, we're going to get into this. Now, one of the great things that I got to do prior to this year in ministry is I got to travel a lot. Last year I was on the road 236 days. And one of the neat places that I got to go to a few years ago was a place called Molokai, Hawaii. You ever hear of it? I'm not going to lie, it was cool ministry. I really enjoyed going there. It's beautiful. It's actually one of my favorite places to go now on the planet. It's just amazing. It truly is. But my first time there, I go in and I set everything up. It was Molokai Baptist Church, and then the worship team was warming up. So I walked outside and I took this picture outside the front door of Molokai Baptist Church. And it doesn't do it justice. It really doesn't. And I went back inside. My wife was with me, and my assistant and her husband were there, and I showed this picture to the three of them, and my assistant immediately looked at that picture and said, "What a great picture of the cross." Oh, I'm telling you the honest truth. I did not see the cross when I took the picture. I saw the rainbow. Now, why would I show this to you? Because there's a point. Things can be right there in front of us, and we can miss them. It's easy to overlook things that are just, they're right there staring at us, and we can miss it. That same year, I got to go to Saskatoon, Canada. Have you ever heard of Saskatoon, Canada? I had never heard of Saskatoon, Canada. I flew over a whole lot of nothing to get there. But again, it was amazing ministry. The people were just sweet people. But the thing was, when I got back from this ministry trip, it was probably 3 weeks after I get back, I'm watching the news one day, and there's a police car chase in the news from Saskatoon, Canada. Did you guys remember seeing this in the news? It was big news. I got to show it to you. I recorded it. You guys didn't catch that on the news? Man, that was big news in Saskatoon, I'm going to tell you. No, the truth is, that is actually a Canadian Midas tire commercial. But there's a reason why I showed it to you, and the reason is this. Because think about it, things can be right there in front of us, we can miss them. Or things can be really simple and we make it more difficult than they need to be. Think about a police officer's job, protect and serve. Bad guy's stuck 6 foot in front of you with a tire spinning. That's an easy day at the office, right? I mean, you're under arrest. But he didn't do that, did he? He got out and he pushed his car. So hang on to those 2 points, because I think that we can apply them to this issue of becoming bold. Very simple. Right there in front of us. And we can miss it. So here we go. James 1:5 is what I'm going to key off of this morning. And it says this: if any of you lack wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Ask who? This is a key to understanding, in my humble opinion, how you can have 400,000 churches and be as invisible as we are in the culture. Because who are we asking when we lack wisdom? And in those 400,000 churches with people sitting in their pews, I would be willing to venture a guess and say that the vast majority are not asking God when they lack wisdom. And I can say that because all you need to do is go to a local Christian bookstore. Now, if there's a local Christian bookstore owner in here, I'm not attacking you. But if you go and you look at what are the top sellers in the local Christian bookstore, we're not asking God. If we're honest, we're asking man. You know, what do you think? How do I live my better life now? And what do you think about guys, this is, we're asking man. And many of us aren't turning to God. But why aren't we turning to God? I think the key is to that is the next verse, where it says this, nothing wavering, doubt. We have to understand that doubt is the tool that Satan has used from the very beginning. He doesn't need a new tool, because the one that he has works very well. The tool won't change, but the questions will. Depending on what's going on in the culture, you're going to see the questions changing. You know, I've told people this, that when I started ministry a long time ago, if I ever did a radio program, I could guarantee you that within three questions, I would get the question on a call-in radio Q&A thing, where did Cain get his wife? I have not been asked where did Cain get his wife in the last 10 years. And I'm going to say it's because we have a biblically illiterate culture. And they don't even know to ask, where did Cain get his wife? They don't know who Cain is. I spoke at a camp. I had a young man come up to me afterwards, and he made sure nobody was around. He's looking. He came up to me, and he goes, who's Adam? Who's Eve? We live in a biblically illiterate culture right now, and the only Christian that they see, quite frankly, is on television. Family Guy, Simpsons, Desperate Housewives, Law and Order, let's be honest. A lot of Christian characters on those programs, and the video games, Christian characters in there. And what they're being depicted is not Christianity. But by our silence, that becomes the default of what Christianity is. Nothing wavering, doubt. If Satan can get you to doubt, I put it like this. If I can get you to doubt Genesis 1:1, you'll never sell out for John 3:16. I spoke at a really big church in Toledo, and the guy told me, he said, Carl, when I came off stage, are you open to constructive feedback? I said, absolutely. He said, the vast majority, 80% of my people in my church are unchurched, and they don't have a clue what you just meant by, if you don't trust Genesis 1:1, why can't I trust John 3:16? They're biblically illiterate. He said, but what if you said this? If you can't trust one book in the Bible, why should you trust any of the other books in the Bible? So I'm going to say it to you this way. If you don't know what John and Genesis is, if you can't trust one section of this book, why should you trust any of the rest? And this is where Satan has been very smart. And what happens when you get to that stage? Verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I'm going to suggest to you that what we see many times is that people are trying to put one foot on the Word of God and one foot on the world's wisdom, even within the confines of the church. And if we are going to straddle anything, I learned this at a young age, straddling anything is not good. And if a Christian isn't willing to put both feet firmly on the Word of God, why should the lost want anything to do with it? They see us, quite frankly, when we make excuses. They see us when we tap dance. They see us when we say, God, I know what you wrote, but let me tell you what you meant. I know you said you did this, but you just don't quite understand science, God, so let me help you out here. They see that. And why should they want anything to do with it? You see, you have to understand, all the way back in Genesis, this is the tool that Satan used with a simple question. Did God really say that? That's not deep. That's not theological. God said something. Satan said another. Man blew it. Why? Because they said, okay, thank you. I can determine what truth is from here, and we'll take over. And now we see why we see in this world what we see today. Don't do that. By the way, the last talk that we did was fossils and does it support evolution. For those of you that were not here, there was only one. I feel bad now. But let me show you, because there was only one that acknowledged it. But let me show you the debunked video that we did. I thought there would be more that came in. You guys actually go to Sunday school. That's not normal. You guys are weird. Truly, I mean, you go to Sunday school, like the numbers are here, then you come to church, it's like that. So praise God that y'all are going to Sunday school. That's a great thing. But let me show you our brand spanking new debunked video that we just released dealing with this issue. And it's essentially that hour-long talk that I just did in 4 minutes. But I want you to see it because I want you to have it if you want it. So here we go.
We've unearthed millions of fossils around the world, so with all this evidence, so to speak, it's clear that the fossil record proves evolution, right? Well, actually, no. Didn't when Darwin was alive, and hasn't since he's been gone. In fact, Chucky D himself knew this when he wrote the following. Geology assuredly does not reveal any such finely graduated organic chain, and this, perhaps, is the most obvious and gravest objection which can be urged against my theory. The explanation lies, as I believe, in the extreme imperfection of the geological record. Okay, but surely after all the time since Darwin, digging and discovering fossil after fossil, we have a more perfect geological record that supports evolution, right? Not even close, bud. Listen to how two renowned evolutionary biologists summarized the truth. Instead of finding the slow, smooth, and progressive changes, they saw in the fossil record rapid bursts of change, new species appearing seemingly out of nowhere and then remaining unchanged for millions of years, patterns hauntingly reminiscent of creation. The fossil record doesn't show gradual change, and every paleontologist has known that ever since Cuvier, or however you pronounce that. Okay, I could go on and on, but there's always going to be opposing views because on both sides of the debate, the same evidence is interpreted through different worldviews. You gotta remember that, people. Facts don't say anything. People say things based on their interpretation of facts influenced by their worldview. But that's a whole other subject, and I don't want to get into it right now. Instead, hey, let's have a little fun and take a look at some popular secular articles and charts on the fossil record and see if we can learn to separate facts from interpretation of facts by asking a few simple questions. Question one, did the artiste take any artistic license with what I'm looking at here? Check this out, because this happens all the time. Look, isn't that sweet? So cute and fluffy. Okay, why do you think the artist made these creatures appear more human-like by throwing in an affectionate smile and depicting them hanging out like a human family going to a picnic or something? Why did he draw them walking upright? Why make the shapes and colors of their eyes more human than ape? Is any of it based on actual fossil evidence? Of course not. But if you want the story of evolution to appear more convincing, you just might fill in missing gaps with your presuppositional imagination. Just saying. Question two, is the attention-grabbing headline or title supported by actual facts? For instance, take a look at this popular book called Why Evolution is True. We don't even have to go any further than the jacket on this one, because on it you got a dino evolving into a bird in three simple steps. There you go. But then on the inside, this is written, and I kid you not. The jacket depicts a chronological sequence of fossils showing the evolution of birds. We do not know whether the actual line of descent included, now wait for it, the first three. Say what now? Doesn't that mean these three shouldn't be on the cover then? Which means all you got is a modern bird, right? No evolution, just a bird. Talk about worldview filling in gaps. On to question three. What do the graphics on evolutionary charts indicate? I mean, they sure do look convincing. For instance, on this one from the dinosaur book, you got solid red columns and white columns showing gradual progression over time. But let's read the almost imperceptible two-point font over here. It reads, tinted areas indicate solid fossil evidence, which means the white areas represent no solid fossil evidence, right? Okay, then take them away. Uh-oh, looks like patterns hauntingly reminiscent of creation, I'd say, right from their own charts. And the same thing goes for the dotted lines on this one. Look at all of them. Just so we're clear, dotted lines indicate zero evidence. Remove them, and what do you get? No transitional forms or evidence of gradual progression. A bat is a bat, a kangaroo is a kangaroo, and a horse is a horse. Of course, unless, of course, the horse is Mr. Ed. Look, people, all I'm saying here is if you got facts, put them in there. If you don't, leave them out. But don't draw downright dubious daft, dare I declare, dunderheaded dotted lines of deliberate deception dogmatically and dastardly doodle to disguise definitive data. No, just admit what you actually see. Overwhelming evidence of living things, according to their kinds, suddenly appearing, which, as a reminder, is exactly what the Bible teaches. Now, I don't even have time to get into TV, movies, and documentaries. All I ask is that you use the same line of questioning when you watch them. And, in summary, we agree with Mr. D. Geology assuredly does not reveal any such finely graduated organic chain. Not then, not now, not ever. And that means the whole idea that the fossil record proves evolution has been debunked. Adios.
So you just went through that 50-minute talk in 4 minutes. But now why did I give you the 50-minute talk and not just do this to begin with? Because the other parts that were in that 50-minute talk are going to help you. You show the 4-minute video, but now then you take those other points so that you can talk about them. This is nothing more than a hook to get a conversation going. But then you need to have a little bit more to back it up. And so guys, again, these debunked videos, to get them for free, take out your smartphone. If you weren't here yesterday, take your smartphone out, go to your messaging software, and all you have to do is text the message, adios space, don't write space, just hit the space bar, hope BC, and send that to 51555, fill out that form, and when you do that, You're going to be on the list. You'll get a link to all the current debunked videos, which this is the latest one, number 16. But then the future ones, you'll get them before we release them to the public. And the other thing, when you've got your phone out and you're at your downloading that app, go or the that link, go to your app store and type in Reasons for Hope. Reasons for Hope. Three words, not all together though. Reasons for Hope. Look for the blue asterisk. Download the app. It is absolutely, to me, the best tool that I can put in your hand, because now all those videos are categorized. When you get it, you download it, it'll have a menu, you hit the menu, the full gospel, 2:41 of the gospel from Genesis all the way through. Underneath that, debunked videos, Dan's videos are there, you parents with young children, his drawing lessons, they're all categorized on there, so you just hit that button, it'll take you to his videos. It is a tool that has got an overwhelming amount of information, and it's all free. We want you to have those things, so take advantage. But, becoming bold. And we run into the questions of, you know, God, and if God created everything, then, well, if God created everything, then who created God? We dealt with this one yesterday, did we not? Who was not here yesterday? Who was not here? Well, guess what? We've got a debunked video on it. Download it. You'll get to see it. But let me show you another way that I deal with this. When somebody makes the claim that, well, there's no evidence for God, or if God created everything, then somebody created God. It's like, do you really believe that? Yeah. Okay. Can I show you a video? It's not the kind of video that you're thinking. Can I show you the video that I will show them when I'm talking with them? Okay. Are you ready for it? No, you're not. Watch.
Tostitos, how'd you think of these Scoops chips?
It was the 1990s. Dips had become extreme. Layers of intense ingredients. It was too much. No! I was a broken chip, and I needed to change. But how? I wandered the world looking for answers. I looked at stuff. Then it hit me. I changed my shape. Now I'm ready for any dip.
Even this big old dip? Booyah!
Bring it!
Booyah!
Booyah!
I told you you weren't ready for that. Because I'm looking at your faces and some of you are like, what? Somebody just asked you about if God created everything, who created God? Or made the statement that there is no evidence for God, and you show them a Tostitos commercial? I am that guy. I'll ask you the questions that I then follow up with. You ready? Is there anybody in here who honestly, genuinely believes that a bag of chips can talk? Anybody? Whew, thank you. Those guys are really hard to have conversations with. And the scary thing is that you're finding more and more of them on the college campuses. They just think different, okay? Does anybody honestly, genuinely believe that a chip, just because it doesn't like the way that it looks anymore, it can change its shape all by itself? Anybody? No. Most of, well, one hand. Ugh. I put it to you like this. If you think that a bag of chips can talk, or it can change its shape all by itself, well, most of you are saying that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, Carl. Well, if that's so ridiculous, then let me ask you a question. Why is this not ridiculous?
Over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself into mountains, butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and me.
So if it's so ridiculous to think that a chip can chalk or change its shape, then why is it so much more intelligent to believe that hydrogen gas, which we don't have a clue where it came from, but I'll give it to you, hydrogen gas over the course of 14 billion years transformed itself into mountains and butterflies, the music of Bach, and you and I. 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church gone by the time they're age 18, and what are they leaving? And what are they going to? And they think Christianity is ridiculous? Look, I got one word for you. If you think hydrogen gas can transform itself into everything that we see, I got one word for you.
Inconceivable!
The millennials and under get it, okay? By the way, I found this guy's baby picture. Dude looks the same as when he was a baby. I'm like, come on. It is inconceivable that hydrogen gas can do this stuff all by itself. Now, one of the things that I really enjoy doing is I love to get out and do man on the street type interviews and ask people what they think. Because what I have found is that everybody believes something. I mean, everybody believes something. But the vast majority, and I don't care if you are so far left that you're not even on the scale, or you're so far right that you can't even wear, you can't even have buttons on your shirt, okay? I don't care how far apart you are. Everybody believes something, but the vast majority cannot tell you why they believe what they say they believe. They just believe. Well, I was raised that way, or I was taught that. That's worthless, to be blunt with you, okay? We need to be able to give an answer why we believe what we say that we believe, all right? And so I love to challenge people. And when I get out on the street, it's a very interesting thing. And by the way, the tool that we use right now big time is that 68 Volkswagen bus that we take out and just, gosh, you can't believe the responses that we get from it. So we get out there, we start talking to people. But one of my goals in life is to not do any more of the street evangelism, to be honest with you. Because I told you yesterday, I'm trying to get to the stage where I'm pouring into this younger generation. They're picking the ball up. They're running with it. Because, hey, if we're not passing on what we got, then it's worthless, okay? So young man up in Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, was Cordero. And the guy that did this interview was a young man named Adam. And Adam asked Cordero, "Cordero, do you read the Bible?" And Cordero responded with, "Yes, I do." So this will be a good interview because we have a Bible reader. And then, okay, Cordero, how do you believe we got everything that we see? And there ultimately are, if you think about it, there are only four options to answer that question. One is God created 6 days. Next is God created long ages. Next is intelligent design or something out there. We don't know what it is. And the fourth is naturalistic processes. And by the way, depending on the way that they answer that question, my follow-up questions are then directly focused at their worldview. So when I get a Christian, they think I'm a non-Christian because I'm challenging them in their worldview. And I get a non-Christian, they know I'm a Christian because I'm challenging them in their worldview. But to me, we need to think about these things. So Cordero, where did everything come from? God, 6 days, God, old earth, intelligent design, naturalistic processes.
Well, I would definitely say that the Big Bang Theory definitely doesn't cover it to me. As far as what I've learned throughout my lifetime, I just basically go along with the 6 days of creation thing.
Isn't that awesome? Cordero reads the Bible. Cordero believes God created in 6 days. Isn't that great? Hello, isn't that great?
Yes, sir.
That was horrible. Didn't you hear the hesitancy in the way that he responded? The way I was raised, I just kind of go along with. Can I be blunt with you this morning? Thank you. I'm going to be. If that is the faith that we are passing on, we're done. Because Satan knows how to destroy that faith. It's very simple. Why would a loving God allow death and suffering? What about carbon dating? What about continental drift? What about life from the further star? What about aliens? What about UFOs? What about a global flood? Where'd the water come from? Where'd the water go to? How'd you get 2 of every, 7 of some, 10 billion species of animals on a wooden boat? Are you hearing me? Guys, you start asking Christians those questions, and I'm telling you right now, you get what I call carp face. We have any fishermen in here? You catch an old carp, you pull it out. What's it going to do when you pull it out? That's carp face. You ask a Christian a question about their faith, and that's what I see over and over again. I am not trying to mock or ridicule Cordero. I really am not. He's just representative of what I get when I just engage people. They don't know who I am, and I just ask them honest questions. You know, when we first started doing this, I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I'll send these questions out to your church. And the youth group, you go to your church people and ask their questions, get it on video, send it to me, and then I'll show their videos when I come in and we do this. How well do you think that went? Not very, because they're like, you're trying to make fun of us. I am not trying to make fun of you. So it's like poor old Cordero gets to get picked on now because he's just a representative. If you think you're going to survive this culture with, well, that's the way I was raised. Well, what makes the way that you were raised any better than the way that they were raised? Well, I just think. What makes what you think any better than what they think? And I'm telling you, Satan knows how to destroy. What about that little girl over in India? She's never heard the gospel. What kind of a loving God would condemn her to hell? Never had a chance. Never had an opportunity. Well, don't worry about that. God loves you. Has a wonderful plan for your life. I'm telling you right now, that is very shallow with this culture that is coming after with very specific issues. Cordero, do you believe the Bible contains mistakes or errors? This is rubber meets the road right here.
I'd say...
There's confidence.
There are definitely some things that I read that seem kind of shaky to me, yeah.
Guys, we're done. If Genesis 1 is shaky, why is John 3:16 so solid? Satan knows how to destroy. If I get you to doubt one book, why should you trust any of the others? How do we get so many different races if we all go back to one man and one woman, Cordero? How do we get the black people, white people, blue people, green people, yellow people? How do we get all those different colored people, Cordero?
That, I honestly don't know.
By the way, if the Word of God is true, should we know? Yes, we should. If you don't think that's an issue in our culture, you don't get out much. This is a huge issue. And by the way, Christianity is the only one that has the answer. And for too long, the church dropped the ball on this issue big time. We are suffering the consequences that we see today because many in the church absolutely dropped the ball on this issue and wouldn't confront it head on. Science has proven the earth is millions of years old, Cordero, but the Bible, when you read it, it's really tough to put those millions of years in the scripture. So if the Bible's correct, then how do you explain fossils that are 100, 200, 300 million years old? Let me make it simple for you. I'm making it easier for Christians now. Fill in the blank. The wages of sin is? What? You fundamentalist hicks, where'd they dig you up from? You cannot believe that the wages of sin is death. Don't tell me that mess, because I'll take you down to the Cincinnati Museum of Natural History. I'll show you a dinosaur fossil that's been dead for 68, 70 million years. A fossil is a dead thing. Did Adam live 70 million years ago? Then don't tell me the wages of sin is death, because I can show you fossil evidence that death has been here long before Adam ever came onto the scene. Are you seeing a problem? I don't believe those dates, but you better understand that there are implications that to me trying to take and put those dates in God's word. Why did Jesus Christ die on a cross? Because the wages of sin is? Not if there was death before Adam sinned. There are implications, guys. Now, am I telling you that you're not a Christian because you don't believe in young earth, 6 days? No. But I'm telling you, you got some serious issues you got to jump through. You got some hoops you better jump through to try to make that work with what this says, because it doesn't work. Cordero, how do you deal with that?
On that, it's really hard to say. My personal opinion, just from the way I was raised, I go along with the biblical definitions of most things, but I guess I really couldn't answer that question.
Do you genuinely believe that this type of faith is going to have an impact on this culture? They're going to get chewed up and spit out. By the way, when the camera went off, Cordero, you're a Christian, so am I. You really struggle with some of those questions. Can I show you how to answer them? This isn't about mocking. This isn't about ridicule. This is about body of Christ. We need to become bold. And you can only become bold when you know what you're talking about. Lighten it up, Carl. Come on, man. We come to church on Sunday and now you're beating us up and it's getting all heavy here. Lighten up. Okay. How'd they fit 2 of every, 7 of some, 10 billion species of animals on a wooden boat? How'd they do that, Cordero?
Once again, sorry if this doesn't help much, but no clue.
Well, guys, you need to have a clue. And as a matter of fact, you are in such a fortunate position to be here, what, 50 minutes maybe from the Ark experience? 50, maybe 55? If you've not been, you need to go. Dan and I are no longer with the ministry, but we're some of the biggest supporter fans that you'll ever run into, because we know the impact that when you walk in and see this stuff with your eyes and see the actual scale and see the way that they answer the questions on the inside of there, it is absolutely worth your time to go down and see it. It truly is. There are answers to those questions. And by the way, we have a debunked that deals with that as well. If you want to deal with it in 4 minutes, it's free. But here's the point. If we're going to answer those questions, we have to be able to understand why we have a generation that's not understanding these things. And so the way that I put it like this is, if we're going to reach this generation, we better understand the questions and we better question the questions. Because you see, I can ask you a question in such a way that you can't give a response. Here's my simple illustration. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? Now, I'm a nice guy, so I'm going to help you. There's no reverse photography. There's no magnets pulling them up. There's no string pulling them up. And there's no air blowing them up. That was a really good suggestion. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? Well, you better question the question. Let me set it up with this. Christian and non-Christian, do we have the same stars? Questions require responses. Hello, do we have the same stars? Do we have the same rocks? Do we have the same people? Then why do we understand and explain the evidence so differently? It is not an evidence problem. It's an interpretation of evidence problem, a worldview problem. It's a perspective problem. So let me show you what I mean by that. Let's take the exact same evidence, Christian and non-Christian, same evidence, but let's look at it from a different perspective, and I will ask the question again. How do they get the balls to roll uphill? And the answer is, they don't. But did it not look like it when you looked at it from a certain perspective? This is the key to understanding how we have become, to me, so invisible in the culture. Now, I'm about to say some things that might offend you, and it's not done to be offensive. It's meant to be a challenge to think. 80 to 85% of the Christian homes send their children to government schools to be raised by the world, to be trained like the world, to think like the world, where they hear a history of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry that totally undermines the Word of God. Now, here's where people are mad. You're telling me where to educate my child. I can't afford to put him in a Christian school. I can't afford to homeschool him. I can't do those things. So you're attacking me. No, I am not. Here's what I will say to you. Whose responsibility is it to educate our children? Is it the government's job? Is it the church's job? Whose job is it? Parents. Which one specifically is mentioned over and over and in the scripture? So if you're going to get mad at anybody, you get mad at the Word of God. Fathers. Fathers are the ones. So now, dads, if you're going to put your child in a government school, you need to be involved in the process. If you're going to put your child in a Christian school, you need to be involved in the process. If you're going to homeschool, you need to be involved in the process. I'm a single parent. You're attacking me. No, I'm not. I understand we live in a fallen world. And I would guarantee that there are some men in this church that would be willing to step up and try to help in that circumstance, in that situation. But gentlemen, you have children, they're in school, you need to be involved in the process, period. Regardless of where you choose to put them. That's between you and the Lord. But what I will say to you is that if you put them in a system that has them for 900 hours a year, that's the average time a child goes to school, 900 hours a year in a school that is where they're taught a history of astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry that undermines the Word of God, and think that they're not going to be impacted by it, that's not realistic. So, I put it to you like this. The world teaches them a history of astronomy, Big Bang, slow gradual processes over millions of years. Does the Bible teach a history of astronomy? Think about it. Do you go to church to learn about astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry? Do you go to church to learn about those things? No, you don't. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Most of us would say no because we send our kids to school to learn that stuff. Then guess what you've just done? You've fallen prey to the world. Because you've turned over the teaching of science to the world, and we've been relegated to what? Stick with me. The Bible absolutely teaches a history that deals with astronomy. God said needs to become the rallying cry of every Christian. Not what do you think, what do you think, what do you think? God said. And God said what? He created the earth on day one. He created the sun, moon, and stars on day four. Think about that for a second. Is that astronomy? Is that a history that deals with astronomy? Yes, it is. Now, what do I see in the world? Remember I told you to remember the lyrics from that song? We're going to get to it right now. Simple question. How many observable, key word, observable stars are there in the sky? This means the number of stars that we can see using the greatest technology that we have today. I don't want the total number of stars. That's a big number. I just want the ones that we can see using the greatest technology on the planet. Anybody want to venture a guess? 70 billion. That's a good number. Really good number. No. 100 trillion, that's a great number too, but no. One more guess. I got 100 billion, I got 70 trillion, 100 billion, 70 trillion. Come on. What's that? I couldn't hear you. 10 million? Good guess. No. It's a 7 followed by 22 zeros. So you got the 70 part right. 76 trillion. Now, my question is, who invented counting that high? Seriously, we're going back in the day, right? We're just grunting and groaning. We're learning how to count here. Carl, you need to learn how to count. Okay, 5, 10, 15, 20, 20. What comes after 20? Nothing. 20. 20 is the biggest number we need. How many people you got here? 20, right? A 7 followed by 22 zeros? Do you know how big that number is? Stick with me here. There is no known process to form a single star from naturalistic processes. If you think a Big Bang will do it, I'll give you all the gas you want. Go blow it up. You're going to make a star? Uh-uh. You're going to make a mess. Give you all the gas you want. By the way, where'd the gas come from? Remember, we're not dealing with that. 76 trillion is greater than every grain of sand on every beach and desert on our planet. And you're not impressed. You shouldn't be, because it's actually 10 times more observable stars, thank you very much, than grains of sand. And you sing about God numbers every grain of sand. Well, guess what? What's he say about the stars? Oh, but you shouldn't be impressed. You know why? Because let's go to the total number of stars, including the ones that we can't see, according to the non-Christian. Okay? You help me out here. Some people think it is... What? You know what? When I read that, I almost went charismatic. I did. I almost raised a hand and said, amen. And brother, with my background, that's charismatic. I grew up in a church where you sit, you stand up, sit down, kneel, stand up, sit down, kneel, and you can blink every 3.5 seconds. That was the church I grew up. Raise your hand. Are you kidding me? Forget about it. Amen. You know why? It takes an infinite God to create an infinite number of stars, to speak them into existence from nothing, and he knows them all by name. And that God knows you more intimately than anybody ever could. And he still loves you. Guys, I'm telling you, that is so humbling to me, because when you know me, you don't want me up here speaking. I am not a good guy. You know my background, it's bad. But by the grace of God, he will pick you up, clean you off, and call you his child. We can't do anything to deserve that. Biology, does the world teach a history of biology? You better believe it. Over the course of 14 billion years, hydrogen gas transformed itself till you get yourself and get a worm. The worm grows legs to crawl under the land, to turn into an amphibian, to turn into a rat, to turn into a monkey-type creature, which then evolves into the black folks in Africa. And then some of those black folks in Africa, they ate fish, and it spurred brain development. They got smart. And some of those smart black folks moved north, where they turned white over time. Don't look at me. I didn't teach that. That's what's being taught. And if you don't think so, I'll show you the videos. That's exactly what the evolutionary process teaches. I'm going to be very blunt with you this morning. Evolution is a racist philosophy. I'm not saying that evolutionists are necessarily racist. I'm saying their philosophy is racist. Because there's plenty of people sitting in church pews that are racist. Trust me on that. I've been in churches where they have booted me. Right? Nope, 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 nope. You can't come in here. You can't speak. Because my wife is Japanese. Oh no, oh no, 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 no. We can't let you speak. You're in an interracial marriage. Excuse me, if there's only one man and one woman that we all go back to, that means there's one race, the human race, which means there can't be interracial marriage. So how can you have an interracial marriage if we all go back to one man and one woman? Oh, no, 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 no. Can't do that. Church bylaws state. Deacons that have come up to me afterwards, and you can't believe the conversations I've had with some of them. Carl, my job is to tell somebody that comes in that looks a little bit different, you might feel more comfortable in this church over here next week. Guys, it's crazy. And it's not just down south. Thank you very much. But when you take this history and you incorporate it into the Word of God and not allow God's Word to be your authority and your standard, you're going to get in stupid places. I'm going to just be blunt. But what did God say? God said one man. God said one woman. 1 Corinthians 15:45, Genesis 3:20, Acts 17:26, we are all of one blood. There is no such thing as race. The Bible never talks about race other than running a good race. Tribes, nations, cultures, oh yeah, you better believe that. Those are real. But race, one. What does science say? As if I need them. Well, Y chromosome passed from the father to the child. We now know beyond a shadow of a doubt, they've tested every culture on this planet. We all go back to one man. I could have saved a lot of time and money on that research. Yeah. Mitochondrial DNA passed from the mother to the child. Guess what? We now know beyond a shadow of a doubt, every person on this planet goes back to a single woman. Could have saved a lot of time and money on that research. Because when God said first man, 1 Corinthians 15:45, he meant it. When God said Genesis 3:20, we all go back to one woman, he meant it. But Carl, the different colors, how do we get the different colors? I can only do so much in a single talk. But there are answers. And if you download the app, go to the questions answered, scroll down, how'd you get different colored people? There's a video in there that deals with it. If you want it, get with me sometime before the service tonight or after, and I'm glad to go through it with you. It is not complex. But I found this interesting. I found a conservative source, the Huffington Post. And you got that, okay. We now know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we all go back to one man and one woman and wait for it. This is awesome. This is awesome. They lived at the same time. Can we get a collective duh here? Brother, it's not going to work any other way, okay? I'm just saying. I don't need them to tell me that. God's been telling me that from the beginning. What about geology? Oh, slow gradual processes, naturalistic processes over millions of years. Look, come dig dinosaur bones with us. Go down the Grand Canyon with some of our dear friends with Canyon Ministries. Go down and let them show you the rocks. The rocks literally cry out. This is me standing at 1,000 feet of sediment with folds in it that supposedly represents hundreds of millions of years. And you can bend rock? Guys, God gave us an answer to these issues. But the problem is, most of us have never been taught how to apply our faith in this realm. But the one area that we have been is morality. Yes, we are Christians. We have morals. We don't smoke. We don't drink. We don't chew. We don't date girls that do. We don't like that long hair stuff. We don't like that piercing. And brother, you better not show up in here with some of those tats. Thank you very much. We have our morals. If I haven't made you mad by now, I'm definitely going to make you mad on this one. Hear my heart. Don't you understand that these morals are based in the history? If the history's not true, why are the morals true? Let me give you two simple examples. Marriage. Why is marriage one man, one woman for life? You're attacking us, Carl. Look, my mom's been divorced twice. Everybody in my family, other than the one sister who's never been married, have all been divorced. I'm the only one in my family that has not been divorced. I'm not attacking anybody. But we have to be honest. What did God say? God said one man, one woman for life. Does that mean he doesn't love me because I went through it? No, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Why is that marriage? Because the creator of the institution said so. Not because me or any of the laws of the land, because we voted to change those laws a few years ago and we have got that change. Thank you very much. Why is abortion wrong? Because I think so, you think so, law of the land states it? No. Because God said from conception, you are a human being. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. You were literally knit together in your mother's womb. Your skin literally is a weave. It's been woven together. It's stronger than steel. And if they could figure this weave out, scientists say they can build buildings 10 times the size they are today, stronger. And they can't figure it out. You are literally woven together, knit together in your mother's womb. But that's only because God gave us that history. But if you lose that history, then why is, hey, you get rid of spare cats, get rid of spare kids. We had one of our candidates running that said point blank, mother's walking in, about to give birth, and you can still choose to not have that child. And we don't need to go deep. And by the way, we just voted for someone who has said that they're going to do that. As well. 400,000 churches across the nation of America. If the biblical history isn't true, why is the biblical morality true? And by the way, forget about the eternity. Why are 50 to 88% of the younger generation walking away? Because I'm going to suggest to you, it's pretty simple. It's right there in front of us. But when we train a generation with a history of astronomy, biology, geology, and teach them the facts, and then we get relegated to bringing those same children into the church, and we teach them our little fairy tales and our fables and our little Bible stories, Which one do you think they're going to go to? I'll tell you the one that I went to till I was 26. I went to where they gave me facts. Church was sit downs, be quiet, don't do this, do that. Bunch of rule and ritual, box checking. Box checking is not Christianity. And by the way, when we do bring those children to church, and then we show them these little pictures of the rinky-dinky boat, and we try to expect them to trust that God's word is true, and there really was a judgment of real sin. Look, man, those little rinky-dinky boats are having a major impact on this generation, which is why I am so strongly suggesting that you do take a trip to the Ark Experience. You do take the children down there. Let them see it from a different perspective. You know, Dan did this a long time ago, and I thought it was so powerful. It's like, oh, he loves the story of Noah's Ark because it's about a cute boat full of animals. And, oh, our children love it. Oh, so cute, so cute. And then when they get 20, what happens? He rejects the story of Noah's Ark because it's about a cute boat full of animals. And that's not what that historical account was about. But when you let the children get raised with this, and then there is no response to it, and not just in this area, but in astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry, you're not going to like the outcome. Here's the way that I put it to you. Parents, we have a really unique opportunity. Really, very short time that we have our children with us. And when we can sit down over dinner, have conversations with them, the questions are coming, the engagement, teaching the application in the world around us, I believe that's when good things happen. But a lot of us don't know how to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within us because we were never trained to do so, so now you think I'm attacking you. No. No. I'm saying when you acknowledge the fact that, gosh, I'm not very good in this, that's when you can start doing something about it. Well, I don't know this. Well, guess what? You've got resources within this area right here that you can go to, that you can get some good answers from. There's great websites that you can do. You've got a pastor that cares passionately. Just listen to this guy. You can't know that he doesn't care passionately about people. Bible studies with people knocking on the door. Hey, I'm going to come do a Bible study with you next Friday. You think he's not going to pour into you guys? Come on. You got questions? You got doubts? There are tools, there are resources right here to address those things. But it takes work on your part. You see, my fear is that we have this generation that I'm sitting at looking at right here. And the world's coming after them. Why would a loving God allow death and suffering? What about carbon dating? What about? And when they can't deal with them, they may sit in church pews until they're old enough to go away. Why am I this passionate about this topic? Because 11 years ago, my son came to me and said, you're going to be a grandfather. Now, these are my 5 grandchildren right here. He's the oldest. Just a month ago, I was able to take him for the first time on a ministry trip with us, and he manned our table and worked our table. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. But when my son came to me 11 years ago and said, you're going to be a grandparent, my heart literally fell through the floor. You know, there's another reason I show grandbaby pictures. I've said some hard stuff, and some of you guys are out there like, this dude's a jerk, man. What a jerk. And then you show grandbaby pictures. Oh, grandbabies. What a nice guy. They forget about the hard stuff. Don't forget about the hard stuff, please. But when he told me that, I was like, what am I going to do? Because I see what's going on in the world. I can't even talk to you about some of the things that I see with this age. And my heart was just like, what am I going to do? And the only thing I knew was I had to reach the generation under me because that generation under me is going to have a bigger impact on this generation than I am. I'm on the way out. I'm on the downhill slide. I get it. So I made a commitment 11 years ago. Well, 10 really. I said, you know what? I got to go after younger generation. So I walked away from big ministry. Said, I got to go after this younger generation because if we don't reach them, you might as well shut the doors to the church. January 8, 2011 will be our 10th anniversary. And God has done amazing things, guys. You know, as my wife said this to me when we came in here, she said, it is so encouraging to see such a broad expanse in here. You've got the younger, you've got the more mature. You've got such a great mix here. Praise God for that. That's a good thing, man. And it's not what we see many times. I can show you video after video after video. I mean, I truly have got video of every one of these conversations and even more, 700 gigabyte of video just from our last ministry trip, okay? People laugh at LB. I don't laugh at LB. It was 11 o'clock in the morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan, PhD candidate. He's walking down the street, 11 o'clock in the morning, drunk. Asked him the question, LB, where do you place your hope? And the guy, this is verbatim, hope? You live, you die, you rot. And that's all there is to it. I think you have a much better response to that. I think we have a much better response to that. We know hope. His name is Jesus. But if we're not willing to talk about it, the LBs, the Davids, the Jims, how will they hear unless we are willing to go? How beautiful are the feet of those that are willing to go and spread the gospel? Now, I love apologetics. I really do. I love apologetics. But again, if the apologetic doesn't lead to the preaching of Jesus, we got nothing. And guys, that's what it's all about. The only reason I use apologetics is to tell you that the God that did all of this loves you individually so much that even when we were rejecting him, he said, no, I'm coming. I'm willing to die on a cross for you because I want you to spend eternity with me. And that's a reality. Each and every one of us are going to spend eternity in one of two places. There's no middle ground. Sounds harsh. I didn't make the rules. He did. Trust or no? And if you've not trusted him, there's not a thing we can do about it other than pray for you and let you know that the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you right now, I pray the Holy Spirit just beats you down. Because once you get to the stage where it's like, God, I got nothing, that's when the really amazing thing starts to happen, because that's when the real growth can begin. This is my goal in life, is to see this happen. Finishing, short video, but this is my goal, our goal as a ministry, to see this happen.
I will live my life according to these beliefs. God does not exist. It's just foolish to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. That an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do as they please without eternal consequences. The idea that I am deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. In a world with no God, there's freedom to be who I want to be. But with God, life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It is ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. And that's how I felt before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless cycle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be who I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do as they please without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is a comforting thought, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It's foolish to think God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs.